This is John Batchelor. Tonight, the show begins in Kabul in August of 2021. Conversation with Bill Raju of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy and Hussein Akhani of Hudson. One more time, visiting the catastrophe of the abandonment of Kabul and the people of Afghanistan. This time, a hearing in the House of Representatives, people from the State Department saying there was no plan in place. It was a scramble for the evacuation from Kabul, indicating that everything went wrong, indicating that what we witnessed in those frantic days was a collapse of order by the State Department, by the U.S. military. Military blames State Department. State Department indicates there were shortfalls in the military. Bill Raju makes the case that the military is at fault for not pressing the details of what it would take to hold on to Bagram and the whole country. Also, the idea that State Department didn't see the collapse coming. Bill and I were talking about it all that spring with his colleague Tom Jocelyn each week. Don't they see it? Aren't they getting ready? Where are the aircraft? Where are the evacuation routes? More to come. Then a conversation with Charles Burton of the Synopsis Institute and Gordon Chang about the Chinese Festival of the Dead and how it's used by the Chinese people in protest of the Stalinism that's being practiced now by Xi Jinping, a student of Mao. It was practiced by Mao all his years until he died in 76. The effect is you honor the dead hero who could have taken another pass, and a path. In this case, it's Li Keqiang. And the regime is so fearful of this that there were police guards in front of the house Li Keqiang grew up in, on the bridge where people wanted to leave flower tributes on the Festival of the Dead. This has happened before. Chou Enlai died in 76, and there was a tribute to him. In any event, the Chinese people are expressing their discontent with Xi Jinping, and he treats them as to be locked up and guided. And then a conversation about excess manufacturing capacity. That's what Janet Yellen calls it on her visit to China. She's a brave lady, very, very certain. It looks exhausting to fly to China. I saw her come down the steps of the Air Force Two, very tired, but game. Shook the hand right away of the Chinese functionary meeting her, expressing to China, thou shalt not excess manufacturer capacity. That's a euphemism for dumping. Of course, that's what they plan to do. They're dumping their cheaply made and poorly engineered BYDs on markets around the world. And Stevenson Yang commented, we won't let them in, the BYD electric vehicles. But Russia will, Brazil will. On to a conversation about the disinformation campaign and the Rafa mission. Malcolm Honlein joins myself and Thaddeus McCotter. And then a happy conversation with Indiana Honlein about a lost Roman lamp found in the Nabataean Desert by a 16-year-old high school student on an outing with his class. Wonderful find. Identifying a trade route that was guarded by the Romans. So valuable was the end of the route, copper. The lamp was made in Petra, that carved from rock city in Jordan. And then Peter Berkowitz joins about a debate between conservatives and conservatives, the so-called national conservatives, the new right, and the so-called American conservatives, the old new right. Bill Buckley and Ronald Reagan were old new right, and they're now being replaced, according to national conservatives, because they no longer connect with issues that are important to the national conservatives. Anyway, I listen to Peter explain, and I welcome you to listen as well. And then the New World Report. Joseph Umar is in Buenos Aires talking to the security minister of the Malay government, Patricia Bullrich. We talk of Ecuador and how Ecuador invaded the Mexican embassy in the capital, Quito, and they've broken relations between Mexico City and Quito. not a good development. It has to do with narco-terrorism. There was a narco-terrorist, former state official, taking refuge in the Mexican embassy. And it's a fine distinction between refuge and hiding out from the law. In any event, there's a flap on. Brazil has taken, the Supreme Court has picked Elon Musk to battle with. And Ernesto Araújo explains, the Supreme Court is the one that's been dominating the conversation about what is and what is not to happen in Brazil. And taking on Elon Musk, well, this will be a fair contest. And then the Cartier watch on the wrist of Dina Boluarte, the president of Peru. Is it ordinary for someone who gets a salary of $4,000 a month to wear a $56,000 Cartier watch that I don't know where it came from? In any event, Ernesto and Joseph explain that corruption among officials is routine in Latin America. Fourth hour, I talked to Grant Newsham about how Japan and the U.S. intend to work together, but the Japanese defense forces are not well prepared for it. There'll be a lot of catching up. And then climate. Henry Miller joins with a modest proposal he and his MIT roommate worked out to cut down the glare of the sun a little bit over southwest United States in order to cool off the continent a little bit in the balance of this century. 300-foot balloons per square mile would considerably reduce the amount of heat that hits the surface of the United States and radiates in all directions, causing climate disruption. In any event, this is geoengineering, and there'll be much more of talk about it in the coming years. And then finally, Cleo Pascal updates on the Oceania situation, especially because apparently the Department of Homeland Security does not think it's necessary to require visas from Chinese nationals traveling to the Northern Marianas, which is U.S. territory. Very strange. Anyway, there's much more. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening.